Welcome into the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. We're here on, let's call it Championship Monday, the day after the NFC and AFC title games, where we saw the Chiefs and the 49ers win and advance to the Super Bowl. And here to join me this week to talk about all things pre-Super Bowl, post-divisional round, post-Championship Sunday, he's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. He's the one and only Matt Biamonte. Matt, I know that you're a Rams fan, and so you hate watching the Niners, and especially hate them twice a year.
Honestly, no, that's not the case at all.
Really? You're like the anti-typical Rams fan when it comes to San Francisco?
I must be. I adopted the Rams because of my longstanding Laker fandom. So when they moved back, I just felt like, okay, I got to welcome them. But I still have a tremendous pull towards players. And what ended up happening yesterday was exactly what I wanted to have happen as a fan. I still love the Chiefs from the Andy Reid perspective. And look, you got to admire greatness. That's something I like about the Chiefs, is there's a lot of historic greatness going on in Kansas City. And then San Francisco, what got me back on the Niners is Brock Purdy. I just think it's a tremendous story. And anyone who has anything negative to say about him, I don't think is seeing the full picture, or maybe they're just haters. I don't know. I can't figure it out. So I love his story. Like, I'm only like, how tall are you? I'm 5'8". I'm a small guy. So to see an undersized late round quarterback playing well, I'm rooting for that.
I'm not going to say I'm in the category of Brock Purdy. I'm the Brock Purdy of KSL Sports. Okay, like, we'll go with that.
Then what does that make me? The Darren Sproles of KSL Sports?
Hey, Darren Sproles had some times in the NFL. Okay, how many times do we see Darren Sproles take him one back? So
good point. Yeah. Good point.
Well, I predicted the outcome yesterday.
You had the Niners and Chiefs.
I had Niners and Chiefs. I put it out on X. You can go follow me and check that out. You can see I screenshotted the poll that we did on KSL Sports. The prediction. Let me just pull it up right here. I'll get it for you. We had obviously like all four matchups that it could potentially be, and the winning result was Ravens versus 49ers. 34% of the audience picked that. We had almost 400 votes. And then second to that was Chiefs 49ers, which is where I went. I wouldn't have been surprised if it would have been the Ravens versus the Niners, because I thought, you know, both teams had been pretty dominant in their conferences throughout the whole regular season. And then obviously Baltimore destroyed San Francisco in their one meeting. But there was something there, and I listened to a bunch of podcasts all week. And I saw it yesterday after the game. I'm sure you did as well. And I wanted to get your take on this, because I feel like the same thing happened with Tom Brady and the Patriots for so many years. Is at the end of the day, how do you pick against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason when it's those big moments, when the game is on the line, when the season's on the line, championships are on the line? Like, how do you bet against him? And that's kind of what it came down to me with my pick was, I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes until he gives me reasons not to, right? And then obviously I think the 49ers were just a more talented team than the Lions. I was shocked by that first half, but they really showed their true colors and kind of, you know, flexed on them there in the second half. But what do you think about that? Just with Patrick Mahomes, his greatness, I kind of do think that we are seeing, you know, I don't know if anybody was ever going to be the guy to go put up the kind of, you know, accolades and, you know, accomplishments that Tom Brady did during his career. But man, what a start for Patrick Mahomes. He's on that path.
Let me add to that too. You're totally right. I can't prove this with a tweet on X. What do you even call that now? What's an original composition on X titled? A post?
I like it. We'll go post. It's simple. Okay. It's easy. And I'm still going to call it a tweet. So
me too. I'm will forever call it a tweet. I don't have the tweet history. I do have some iMessage history of also picking the Niners and Chiefs, or take that for, with a grain of salt. That doesn't really matter. But
No, I
let me
will.
add to that.
Keep your receipts. Keep your receipts.
Here's the thing. Yeah, don't pick against Reed and Mahomes until they've proven to be vulnerable. But also, what has the Ravens with Lamar Jackson done to make you feel like they're worthy of being picked? And that's kind of where I came back to it was, yeah, Lamar had a great year. He's been an MVP before, likely to be an MVP again. But when it comes to the postseason, I don't see the same guy. At least I haven't yet. And Kansas City, there's so much continuity on the coaching staff. Spags has been the defensive coordinator for years. Baltimore had a new offensive coordinator that had not been in the NFL for a couple years. So there was a lot of new there to where it makes you feel like, man, if things aren't going perfectly, and it rarely does in the NFL playoffs, can Baltimore win? And that's why I felt, you know, yes, Mahomes, yes, Reed, all that, Kelsey. But I also felt like Baltimore is not a number one seed that scares you because I don't think they have a great home field advantage. And then Lamar just hasn't done it. Harbaugh, he's been there before. He's won a Super Bowl. But they have a completely different staff. Kansas City's coaching staff is largely intact. Nagy got promoted to offensive coordinator in the offseason, Kyle. But he had been the quarterback's coach for a couple of years since he got let go in Chicago. So that entire group had a lot more continuity. And that matters a lot, I think, in the NFL playoffs because at times stuff hits the fan. And have you been there before? Do you have an experienced coaching staff that can draw upon prior experience to get it done? And Kansas City clearly had that experience. For San Francisco, that game kind of played out a little bit how I thought it would be in terms of it being close. I didn't know that Detroit would have an opportunity to put the nail in the coffin before halftime. But Detroit, there's just so much. They're so young, they're so new, and the style of football they play, we should probably talk about this, the style of football they play can either eliminate you early if they get a couple fourth downs and just the train is running full steam on the tracks, or if the train comes off the tracks like it did in that game, you can let a team back in it quick. And I didn't love those decisions in the second half to be aggressive. When you're on the road, you have the lead, keep putting pressure. That was my takeaway. I don't know what yours was, but I just felt like Detroit, just too much inexperience there to go on the road and get it done. And I think that ultimately is what hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, I probably kicked the field goal in that situation.
Especially the second one.
Yeah, the second one was brutal.
You tie the game at 27 with that kick.
You tie the game, and then you've been in that position all game where you're just like, you're either, you know, leading the game or – you know, in the second half, you're kind of reeling back. Let's get some stabilization here. And I think if that's in the first half, I can understand the going for it a little bit more just because, hey, what do you have to
Which
lose?
They didn't do,
Nobody's
though,
picking.
Right?
Yeah, right, exactly. And
they
so
kicked the field goal.
The situation kind of changed, which I respect Dan Campbell, especially his comments after the game where he's like, I don't regret it. I am who I am. You know, like
he should regret it, though, because I feel like it cost them a trip to the
totally.
Super Bowl.
Like, how do you not regret it afterwards? Like, to say you didn't regret it, it's like, well, then, like, the result is the result. And, like, you can't be mad about it either. But it's like, you're mad about it. Like, you're pissed that you didn't win the game. So you do have some regret, right? I think that Detroit was playing with house money, and then they kind of – leaned into it a little too much. It's like your offense is really good, and I get that. But at some point, the analytic game needs to like kind of go away and just be like, hey, like points are points. Like we're talking about championship football games, and you look at both of the games yesterday, they're one score finishes, and how critical are those points? You know, super, super important at the end of the game. And
right. Then Baltimore did the same thing, down two scores. And they were down 10, and Lamar throws a boneheaded pick, and it's like, dude, it's 3 points still has value. I think that's one of my biggest takeaways of the weekend is field goals still have tremendous value depending on the circumstance, and especially in that Detroit game, man. Those, I mean, 6 points there, it's a totally different football game, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's totally different. And the other thing that I was gonna say is, you see these coaches like trying to push for touchdowns. It's like, take the field goal in these late game situations when you need to get another possession, then try and have your three timeouts. Like, don't burn that timeout and then only have two, and then like you have to have the onside kick or else the game's over. It's like, if you have three timeouts, like, sure, you don't have a ton of time left, but at least you give yourself a chance even if you don't get the onside kick. I don't know how many, like, I don't know. Monday morning quarterback here, but like at the end of the day, like these situations keep popping up and these coaches keep making these dumb decisions year after year.
I know it's we sit on the couch and yeah, Monday morning quarterback is exactly right, but I just feel like, man, there are still some things that are true in football. Even to us, naysayers who sit on the couch eating chips and popcorn, when you're the road team, get points when you can get them. When you have the lead, any way you score, whether it's field goal, safety, touchdown, it's valuable. Look, in a perfect world, yes, you keep throwing touchdowns on the board and you put them away. But that wasn't the circumstance. The circumstance was San Francisco had gotten back into the football game, and by kicking that field goal, the first one to go up 17, you're right back to where you were at halftime. Instead, you give them hope. They have the long bomb. It's a 7-point game. And you're just like, what happened? All that could have been eliminated with a made field goal. And even if, let's say they do still get the Ayuk miraculous catch, they get the touchdown, you're still down two scores, you get the ball. It's just, man, this crazy aggressive nature that's obviously fueled by analytics, I just feel like there's a time and a place for it, but there's also a time and a place for common sense, which is exactly what we've discussed.
Agreed. Completely agree. And we've seen coaches in this coaching cycle and in years past that ultimately end up losing their jobs because they keep on making these same kinds of decisions. And Dan
Brandon
Campbell's
Staley,
good.
it's like
Yeah,
we're going for
exactly.
it.
Brandon Staley is like a prime example. I'm not going to say Dan Campbell's going to be there because that man has made history in Detroit this season. And so he's going to
Oh
be
yeah.
beloved there forever, pretty
And
much.
they're young. They're young.
Totally. So, I mean, it's possible to be back there, but like he said after the game to his team, like, I'm surprised he said it publicly. Is like, hey, this might be your only chance. Like, who says that? I don't think I've ever heard a coach say that in a press conference. And props to him for like being open about, having that conversation with his team. But I mean, it's so true. Like, you have to be smart in these situations. And I don't know. I think that ultimately the best teams ended up winning, and we have them in the Super Bowl now, and so I'm excited about that. But let's turn to the local guys specifically. I wanted to get your take on this. I'll just run through it real quick. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, there's four guys that are there representing the locals. So you've got Andy Reid, obviously head coach. He's a former offensive lineman for BYU, also was a GA on the coaching staff back in the day. Porter Ellett, who's a BYU alum, he's the assistant running backs coach. He's been on Andy Reid's staff for a number of years now and just got promoted this last season to assistant running back coach. You got former Utah linebacker Alex Whittingham, who's a defensive quality control coach. And then Matt Bushman, former BYU tight end, who's on the Chiefs practice squad. And then for the 49ers, you've got Mitch Wischnowski, a former Utah punter, Fred Warner, all-pro linebacker out of BYU. And then Cam Latu, a rookie who played college ball in Al at Alabama, but he's an Olympus High product. So, four BYU guys there that I want to get your perspective on, Matt. And let's start off with Andy Reid. I know we touched on him a little bit already, but at what point do we talk about Andy Reid as like, top three maybe
Oh,
coach
that
of all
was,
time?
we're
Are we
already
already
past that.
there?
Yeah, we're there.
So you got Belichick. And then, do you have Reed too? Is he
Yeah.
three, four? Where is he for
Honestly,
you?
depending on what happened in this Super Bowl, I'm ready to open the conversation on Belichick and Reed because Reed has done what he's done with the Chiefs. Now, he didn't have nearly the success he did in Philadelphia, but he had a lot of success. He had a lot of success with Donovan McNabb, who is not that great of a quarterback in hindsight. Like, he was solid, right? But does anyone feel like McNabb is a Hall of Famer? I know he significantly upgraded with Mahomes, but Reed had a ton of success in Philadelphia and just seemingly couldn't catch a break. Like, the year that they could have competed with the Patriots, Terrell Owens breaks his leg, right? So, like, the most dynamic weapon in the league. I know he played in that game, but like he wasn't 100%. I just feel like Reed has proven he can have success before having an all-time great quarterback. And now he has an all-time great quarterback. I think Mahomes is clearly on pace to be second best, right? Behind Tom Brady, probably. His numbers up to this point exceed Tom Brady. He's on a pace to have a better career than Tom Brady. Can he last as long? We'll find out. But Reed is, in my opinion, clearly the second best coach of all time. And if you want to have a discussion between him, Bill Walsh, and a few other guys, I'll have that conversation. But he's clearly in the group beneath Bill Belichick. And if he wins this one, how do you not start to have that conversation? Because Bill, prior to Tom leaving, was untouchable. But he was so bad with Tom Brady gone. I feel like he's opened the door. It's just been a complete mess without Tom Brady. You can never point to an Andy Reid team and say that was a complete mess. Did his team in Philadelphia reach the heights of Kansas City? No, but you never felt like Reid in Philadelphia was a train wreck. These past couple of years have been horrible. So Reid is clearly rising the ranks in the coaching circles. To me, second best already. And then to top it off, that picture of him and Swift having a moment in the post game, it was just beautiful. Brought a tear to my eye. Swift pointing to him pointing back. His wife is can't believe what's happening. I can't believe what's happening. It's just Belichick would have never had a moment like that. All these little things matter, in my opinion, when you're judging coaches. And Bill is still the best because what he did in New England was a far longer period of time than Andy Reid in Kansas City. But this Kansas City team, can you believe they're back in here? They had no weapons for most of the year. Travis Kelce had his worst year that he's had in, what, 7 or 8 years? It's been a long time since Kelce had a year where he didn't put up 1,000 regular season receiving yards. He looks like he's back to his normal self. Rashee Rice looks like a serviceable top two receiver. Pacheco is looking good. They were down one of their best linemen against Baltimore and still won the football game. Who's to say he retires at the end of this year? What if he goes and wins another two more? Then what kind of conversation are we having? But yeah, to me, Reed has done enough. Do you feel the same way? I feel like he's done enough to be top three already.
Yeah, so I have him top three. I think that, you mentioned those 49ers teams with Walsh. I kind of put Mahomes in that same category right now as Montana. Like, I think he's in that same realm. And until you get, like, Super Bowl 4, 5, 6, like, that's where you start getting to be like, okay, clear number two behind Brady. And so I think that conversation's like heating up. It's getting interesting. It's at this heating point. Up. And so it's like, it's that 2-3 debate for both Reed and Mahomes, but they're right there. But the crazy thing is Mahomes is what, 28, and Reed, like, there's been reports of him retiring now for a year, year and a half. I just don't, like, until I hear it from Andy Reid himself, and I don't think he's going to be a guy that's like, hey, this is my last year. I think he would just come out after the season's over and just be like, hey, I'm done. And I just...
Like Nick Saban.
Yeah, like totally pull a Nick Saban where it could happen at any moment, but you're not expecting it. And it just kind of, wow, it's over, you know? If you are Andy Reid, unless you just don't have the drive for it anymore, or you're just, you know, mornings are early and I'm tired and I just want to enjoy time with my grandkids. Like, you have Patrick Mahomes, who has at least another 10 years left of his prime. Like, you know, like,
totally.
Mahomes has had what, one semi-major injury in his career, and he bounced back from it after a couple of games. So
last year, are you referring about the last
year? One where he had his knee banged up.
And, yep. Yep.
You know, like, he comes back and he's still Patrick Mahomes. Like yesterday, that tackle where he kind of bent over weird backwards, I'm like, that's where his yoga is paying off, because it looked like his body was going to break in half and he just like spins out of it and he's totally fine. I'm like, okay, this guy is at another level. And so I love the Reed Mahomes duo. I hope we see it for at least, you know, 5 more years. They're so fun
and
to
who's
watch.
Who's to say they can't win 2 more in 5 more years? And then if that's true, then I think, I'm not going to say Reed is better than Bill, but it is a discussion, and that is a significant achievement to even be in the conversation
100%.
With Bill Belichick.
100%. Let's move on to Fred Warner. I want to get your takes on him.
So bad game. That's my take. What'd you think?
So Fred's last two games, he's had some nice plays, but the overall impact of his entire 60 minutes, I was left wanting a little bit. And so I expect him to have a big Super Bowl because of that. Because typically Fred's shown up in the postseason, right? Like, I mean,
Oh,
think
yeah.
about him. What, 4 years ago was his first season where he was all pro and Pro Bowl, and that was the year that they made the Super Bowl. And that was, I feel like, Fred's coming on party, right? Like he was pretty good, you know, his first couple years in the league coming out of BYU, but that Super Bowl season, he really like let people know, like, hey, I'm Fred Warner. I'm like the guy on the 49ers defense, and I'm gonna be the
Right.
leader for this group. And they've just continued to get better. I thought that he should have been all pro or at least Pro Bowl a year later in 2021. But the last 2 years, he's been all pro and Pro Bowl again. First team all pro, unanimous this year. His regular season was outstanding. And I don't know. I thought he was one of the best five defensive players in the league this year. And especially the first half of the season, the way he came on, I was like, my gosh, like he's trying to go for defensive player of the year. But what do you think of, I guess, Fred as a whole this season? We talked about, you know, left you wanting a little bit yesterday, but he had that one tackle for loss, which just shows his athleticism and his ability to read.
I thought he was going to
Like,
break that guy's. Was it Gibbs? I thought he was going to break his arm on
yeah.
that tackle.
The thing that's amazing about Fred, and I talked about this with Sam on the podcast, I don't know, like a month ago, is he's just so special when it comes to his ability to play in coverage, but also to rush at the same time. Like, he's so versatile as a linebacker that, like, a lot of these guys, you see them where they're like, they're okay at one of the things and really good at the other if they're at the top end. But Fred's like pretty elite when it comes to both being able to play the rush or the quarterback as well as dropping back in coverage.
Yeah, he had a great year. He's still, I think, if not the best linebacker, one of the best linebackers. I just felt like in this game in particular, there were too many times where I expected all-pro Fred to take the right angle and to make a tackle. And he was maybe it's credit to Detroit and the
Yeah.
way that
Well,
they blocked him.
that Gibbs touchdown run where he shook him. I was like, I don't know. I think that might just be Gibbs is going to be a really special running back. Like
Yeah.
he's got some burst and his like cutting ability is pretty freaky.
Which is totally fair, and maybe where I'm being too harsh. I feel like the standard is so high where I expect him on outside runs to be able to find the right line and leverage and to take the correct angle. And there were a few times where I felt like he took the wrong angle and had missed an opportunity to make a play. He won the game, so I guess you can't be too harsh. And like Detroit was a great running team. They ran all over San Francisco in the first half. So now that we're talking it out, maybe it's more so give credit to Detroit and not be as hard on Fred. It's just Fred, for so many years now, has been that heat-seeking missile that flies from sideline to sideline. We didn't see that against Detroit. He had a couple nice plays that, as you noted, that one play on Gibbs in the backfield was significant in the second half. But I expect more of those where he's just flying around. The one thing I do love about Fred, though, with a few exceptions, he's such a sure tackler. It's very often he's in the thick of things and doesn't make a play. He doesn't give up a broken tackle. That does happen to everybody. It just seems to happen a lot less to him. So I'm with you. I expect him to have a much bigger game in the Super Bowl because he just hasn't been. When you watch that game, I think this is the easiest way to describe it. When you watch that game on offense, there were three guys that popped for San Francisco. Debo made a big difference in the second half, as did Christian McCaffrey. And then Brock Purdy, he just finds a way. In this game, it was with his legs, he made a couple big throws. Defensively, Dre Greenlaw was the guy who were like, this dude is flying around, making, and he typically does, right? I just
Totally.
felt like he popped more than Fred, whereas I'm used to it being Fred is the one that's just like, gosh, this guy's unbelievable. He's everywhere. He just wasn't that way against Kansas City, and that's, or excuse me, against Detroit, and he'll need to be that way against Kansas City because I don't want to get too ahead of us here in the pod, but I feel like that performance by the 49ers defense made me feel like Kansas City's winning a Super Bowl, because that was not a great defensive performance by the 49ers.
Yeah, their ability, the Lions, to run against that 49ers front was the thing that surprised me the most. The discrepancy in that game in the first half especially, right? Like, you looked at Christian McCaffrey's numbers at halftime compared to what Gibbs and Montgomery were putting up for Detroit, and I was like, that's the difference right there. And I think San Francisco should be, you know, grateful that they got out of that game with that kind of performance, but I expect them to kind of change up their running, you know, schemes. And I don't know. I would just, if I'm gonna be Kyle Shanahan for a moment, I'm gonna run and die with Christian McCaffrey than with Brock Purdy's arm. Not that Brock Purdy can't win you a game. He's shown that he can.
Are you disrespecting Brock
I'm not
Purdy?
Disrespecting
he was the
second
Brock best Purdy. Quarterback. Okay.
He was great yesterday in spotty situations, right?
Yes.
He came out and he gave his team what he needed. That scramble that he had was a great play and really probably propelled them to the victory. But I just, at the end of the day, like, if I'm going up against Mahomes, two-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion, like, I'm going to go with McCaffrey. I'm leaning on my best player. And that's where I want to get your prediction, Matt. So you've got, you know, a little less than 2 weeks now, but I'm not going to talk to you on the pod between now and then. So I'm going to get your early prediction. How do you see this playing out, and who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
I have the Chiefs winning on a game-winning drive. I don't believe in the San Francisco defense. It was 2 weeks in a row. Green Bay should have beat them. Detroit should have beat them. And I felt like the defense was mediocre at best for 2 weeks. So I got to go with Kansas City. I do think San Francisco overall has, like, they're more talented. They have better players. There's the Mahomes element, and then that San Francisco defense, man, I'm worried about it. And I think a team like Kansas City, who's been there so many times, I have to lean Kansas City.
Hey, maybe it'll turn out how it did in 2020, where you have Fred showing up in the big game. He gets a pick, but then Kansas City wins, and then your prediction's right. You're like, Fred had a good game. I was right with my prediction at the same time. Maybe it'll play out the exact same way in the rematch.
I hope it doesn't. I would like San Francisco. It's been a long time for them. I'd love for them to win one. There's so many great storylines in San Francisco. It's just their defense has not been the same under Steve Wilks. Yep. Like, they were a dominant defense for the past couple of years, and now situationally they can make plays. They recover a fumble when they need to. They make a pick against Green Bay. That's all great and good, and that might be enough to win you the Super Bowl. But Kansas City, I can't anticipate they're going to make the kind of boneheaded mistakes that Green Bay and Detroit made against the 49ers.
Hey, you saw what mistakes did to them during the regular season. They played a clean game yesterday, and those were the contrasts from the season. You don't lose to a game like they did, you know, in a game like they did against Buffalo, where they just made too many mistakes. And then yesterday they played a really clean game. They ended up beating the number one seed. So I'm right there with you. I'm leaning Chiefs right now. I'm not going to make my final prediction, but I wanted to get your early take on it, and appreciate you having on the podcast, being on the podcast today, Matt. But what can you tease for us this week? I know you got Cougar Nation tonight. We're recording on Monday, so you got Cougar Nation tonight, and then obviously on Saturday, Cougar Sports Saturday. What do you have for us this week?
Yeah, we're just going to be riding that hoops train, baby. Get the bounce back win against Texas, and then, you know, it'll also be interesting too, depending on when you're listening to this pod, the Big 12 football schedule will be out. So there'll be probably a lot of early reaction to that. At what time of the year are certain games, you know, if that UCF trip is in September, woof, that's tough with that humidity down there in Orlando. If it's in October, November, sign me up for a late vacation. So the world of BYU, man, it just always gives you interesting conversations, and I'm sure we'll touch on that a lot more.
He's Matt Biamonte. You can follow him on social media at Biamonte Matt. You can hear him on Monday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. and from noon to 3 on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM. So Monday, 6 to 7 p.m., Saturdays, noon to 3. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you hopping on.
Glad to be here, dude. Anytime. Have a good one.
That'll be it for us this week on the podcast. We'll be back next week to preview the Super Bowl matchup between Kansas City and San Francisco. Until next week, this has been the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com.